Man, I'm asking you folks, please give me 35 minutes of everything attention on the Word of God. This is a message I have been waiting to preach. And it is, if you are single, this is for you. If you are dating somebody, this is for you. If you are married, buckle up. This is for you. Father, I'm asking that in this place this morning, there is a stillness. And then we just humbly come before your living word and allow it to transform us and allow it to change us. God, that they'd hear from you this morning. Father, I'm asking by your Holy Spirit that they would hear your voice. They would hear from you today. It's powerful. God, every eye in this place open to see exactly what you would have them to see this morning. God, every ear in this place, their understanding would be wide open to understand exactly what you would have them understand very clearly, crystal clear, not black and white, no gray area. God, it's right there that they would see it and they'd understand it this morning. God, every week I want to walk out of this place in greater faith. Faith comes by hearing your word. That's where faith is built. God, I'm asking that seeds are planted today, that faith is manifested and it grows and we walk out here with just greater faith than when we came in this place. God, move in this place this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk this morning, continue in our last part of Soar Like an Eagle. You can go online, livingouttruth.com or Believer's Chapel Allegheny. All these videos are online. If you have not seen them, you can catch up. They are great video quality. It's just pretty cool. But this is the last message in regards to life like an eagle and soar like an eagle and the eagle Christian compared to the eagle and believing that God has created the eagle and how he references the eagle in scripture. And because this the golden eagle is what's mostly found in the Middle East is probably the eagle that is referenced mostly in scripture. That's what they believe, because that's the one that would most reference the writing of the scripture, is the eagle that they would see. And it's incredible when you get into the eagle's nest, and we're going to talk about life before they build their nest and what takes place within that nest. And when an eagle builds a nest, when they come and they find a mate and they begin to build their home, the couple, the male eagle, the female eagle, will fly around and they will search for that perfect spot, for that perfect place to build their home, to build their nest. Look at Job 39. This is what God says. 27. Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up? We talked about that. And makes his nest on high. An eagle will make his nest about 10,000 feet above. And will make its nest, look at this now, on the cliff he dwells and lodges, upon the rocky crag, an inaccessible place. From there he spies out food, and his eyes see it from afar. So we see even in scripture, and then we line it up to the study of eagles, that eagles will find a place high above, 10,000 feet above, upon the rocks, upon a cliff, upon an edge, and they will build their nest. And an eagle's nest being that high up, could you imagine that mom and pop eagle have to go down and build this thing, down and up, 10,000 feet, down and up. And they build a nest that is at times 8 feet wide. Okay, that's almost like from about here to the wall. And 3 to 4 feet deep. This fortress, this thing that they're building, weighs between 1 and 2 tons. That's between 2 and 4,000 pounds. If you have a smaller vehicle, you can go open your door and you can look and you can find how much your little car weighs. Weighs as much as their home. That's a nest made of sticks. Incredible. Incredible. And the amazing thing is when they build their home, they build it in such a way as a fortress because it's to last their lifetime. They will find one place, they will find one nest, and they will build their nest, and they will live in that nest for the duration of their lives. And there's so much that takes place in that. Children are raised up, children are taught, little baby eagle, taught how to stand, taught how to fly, taught how to live. And it's over and over and over. The cool thing about eagles, this is a fact, is when eagles come together, they're mates for life. They do not separate. If one were to die, Not all the time, but it is possible. Only in death do they find another mate. You compare that to your Christian life and you compare that to your marriage and what God says about marriage. See, but in the very beginning, even before they make the eagle's nest, I want you to show this. Point number one is the trust test. This is truth. This is a fact. When eagles, they put each other through this trust test before they even come into this relationship that lasts a lifetime. Right? You got the male eagle, he's checking out the female eagle, and he's like down and he's checking out the tail feathers move a little bit, and he's like, ha ha. That's a cute tail. And he's like checking it out, right? And then the female eagle is going, well, look at that stud of an eagle. And he's all muscular and his wingspan is like 7.5 feet. He's a beast. So he's like, she's like, oh, I got to check him out. So they begin this game. Here's where the fact, I don't know about the tail and all that, but the fact is this. They begin this game. And it's called the trust. It's called sky dancing is what it's called. And they will go through this whole ritual of falling and dropping and ins and outs and flying and flattering, and they'll connect talents and they will roll and roll and roll and roll. And this takes place about 10,000 feet above. And then they go through this game. It's called the trust test. And the female eagle says, okay, can he keep up? Can I trust him? And she will go down, she'll pick up a stick and she'll fly real high and she'll do these figure eights and she drops a stick. The male eagle has to grab the stick before it hits the ground. She'll go down, grab a heavier stick, not go so high, do figure eights, go a little faster. Male eagle's got to be right on her tail, following, 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 drops the stick. He has to grab it before it hits the ground. She'll do this again. She'll go down, get a heavier stick, go up not so high, faster and faster. He's right on her tail, drops the stick. This goes over and over and over and over until this is a heavy stick, not so high, speed and speed, and he's right on her tail. See, if he misses that stick once, she chases him off. He's not worthy. Can't trust him. Because when they have little baby eagles, mama kicks him out of the nest to teach him how to fly. Guess who has to come by and pick him up before they hit the ground? That's the trust test. Folks, we're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about marriage. Please know this. I want to show you the definition of trust, please. Confidence, reliable, dependable. If you are in a relationship, if you are dating somebody or looking one day to be in a relationship, 92% of all people will be married one day. Good chance you're going to be married one day. You are in a married relationship. This is the absolute foundation of what we need. Listen, number one decision in our life is Christ. Without Christ, we've got nothing. The second most important decision you will ever make in your life is marriage. The spouse that you choose for the rest of your life is the second most important decision that you will ever make. And this is one of the building blocks, the absolute foundation of what it must be on is trust. If you are in a dating relationship and you have somebody that you just can't trust, I'm not quite sure why you're still together. Look at what this means. To trust means to have a confidence in. It means that he is or she is reliable, dependable. Listen, I am a police officer and I was on the SWAT team and I'm still in uniform today. And you know, one thing that I want from my partners and the people around me is solid backup. I want to be able to trust them if I'm going into a place that they have my back. If I'm going to go into a place and I'm looking and I'm ready and I look behind and there's nobody there, bad day for me. Well, am I going to go to the next place with that team? No. Listen, I could show up in my little car, right? And you and me, man, we're going to Florida. Sean, let's go. This is great. Pick it up. We're going down to Florida. I was like, cool, I'll pick up. I'll drive, right? So you, this dude shows up, and you come out, and you see duct tape on my tire. And you're like, what's that on your tire? I got a small hole on the way over here. I hit something. It's no big deal. I duct taped it. We'll make it to Florida. I don't have a spare. No worries. But we'll make it. You know, you're going to look at that and say, nah, I'll drive. You know, that's okay. It's not dependable. It's not consistent. It's not reliable. If you are one who invests finances, you want a financial partner that is going to invest well and be consistent. If he is, since the moment you've invested with the person, they consistently lose money, you're pulling out. Over and over and over. There's so many different areas of our life are based on trust. in the Bible when it comes to husband and wife, when it comes to relationship. Where's the trust level? See, the Bible says in Proverbs 31, it says, an excellent wife who can find for her worth, an excellent wife who can find for her worth, her value, far above jewels. Nothing, there's nothing that compares to an excellent wife. An excellent wife who can find for her worth, her value is far above jewels. There's not a price tag. There's nothing more important than that excellent wife. And then the Bible says the heart of her husband can trust in her. She has proven herself to be reliable. She has proven herself to be dependable. She has proven herself to be consistent. The heart of her husband trusts in her. If you are single in this place and you are a dude, you better find yourself an excellent wife, excellent, virtuous, one who is noble, one who is skillful, one who will understand what it is to love Jesus and live for Jesus. The heart of that man can trust his wife. If you're in a relationship and you can't trust the girl you're with, a bad day for you. Then the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, I want you to see this. This is the man's point of view. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty. Many a man is going to brag and proclaim, of course you can trust me, honey. God, yes, you can trust me. Haven't I proven myself? Dude, it's been a month. No, I'm consistent. I've been consistent for 31 days. How can you not trust me for a lifetime? Are you kidding me? Listen, many a man proclaims his own loyalty. But who can find? There it is again. Trustworthy, dependable, consistent, reliable man. This is so huge. It's the first thing eagles do is put through a test. And it better be one of the very first things. If you are dating, it better be the very first thing you look for, besides a relationship with Christ, is how much I can really depend, how much I can really trust this person that I'm involved with. Huge, huge. Is the person you're with what they advertise to be? That's the big question. Are they reliable? Can you depend on them? Or do they just talk about it? Or is it this constant, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I'll get better, and it's over, and if you can trust me, you can trust me next time. Are they what they appear to be? Many a man proclaims. Everybody says, you can trust me. But who can find a trust? You know what a trust killer is? And this is so huge. It's jealousy. Let me give you the definition of jealousy. You know, the biblical definition of jealousy means heat. Isn't that incredible? Heat. Like anger heat. Like envy heat. That's what jealousy means. Jealousy is a killer in relationship. We are wanting to do our very best here at church to really look at Scripture and see Scripture and recognize that the very first thing God did after creation was create a man and a woman to be in relationship, to be in a healthy, God-given relationship. We want to build healthy, strong marriages, healthy, strong relationships. Jealousy is a relationship killer. Man, this is something that if you are involved with somebody who just is very jealous and always angry and always harsh, get rid of that person. If you are married, don't do that. If you are married, and we deal with this, then we need to come to our face and we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us because this is what some scripture says. Look, well, hold on, I want to show you this. This is what jealousy is caused by. People who are insecure, people who are filled with anxiety, people who walk in fear, and people who walk in doubt. That's the root causes of jealous people. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 says this. Love is patient. And love, this word term love, it's agape. The word agape love, it means always giving, always giving, always giving. If we're going to walk in a love relationship, it means that we are always giving. Love, always giving. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not, if you say, oh, I'm in a great relationship, he loves me, or she loves me, and there is an anger issue, and there is a jealousy issue, that's not what God calls to be love. Look at James 3:16. For where jealousy, there it is, and selfish ambition exist, There is disorder. That means confusion, or things are turned upside down, and every evil thing. Look at the basis. This is not a good word. When it's used in this sense, it's a very ugly word. It's a very bad word. When we look at where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, and that word jealousy, it means heat. It means envy. It means, I wish I could have that over there. I wish. When there's jealousy, there's disorder, confusion, turbulent, upside down. And you know what that opens the door to? Every evil thing. Gang, we've got to recognize this. If you are in a relationship and you're looking at this and say, I am dating somebody who is very jealous and very harsh and very angry, and I just can't trust this person. I'm telling you, it's going to get worse unless you seriously deal with it. If you are married in this place and there is a problem with trust in the marriage, I'm asking you to repent and come to forgiveness and ask God to forgive you and turn to your husband or turn to your wife and get in a relationship. Say, man, I am going to change by the grace of God and through his power. We're going to change this thing. Number one is a trust test. That's huge. That is huge. Number two is this. Till death do us part, folks. Till death do us part. Mark 10, you can put that up there. When eagles come in a relationship, they are together in their eagle's nest that they have built for a lifetime till death do us part. Mark 10 says this, verse 6. It's up on the screen, you can see it. But from the beginning of creation, when is that? The beginning of creation. The beginning of creation. God made the sun, the moon, the stars. He created all these things. And then, incredibly enough, God creates and makes male and female. Look at this. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. The two shall become one. Therefore, there's no longer two, but one. That's huge. House divided falls. Again, when we understand and recognize this from the beginning, when we understand and recognize that God created man and woman, God created one male and one female to be together in relationship, God created a man and a woman to come together and be married and have relationship and do it his way and enjoy life. We want more than anything else. Folks, we want you to be, can't wait to get home to be with your spouse. Can't wait to be home to be with your husband. Can't wait to get home to be with your wife. You missed your wife and husband when you're not together. We want this relationship till death do us part. From the beginning to the end, it increases and it grows and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Where there is no longer two, but there is one. When we get this, and we recognize this, there's not going to be two different bank accounts. There's not going to be, well, that's my money. That's division. Well, I'm getting married and I have a lot of money. I've inherited a lot of money and I don't want this spouse of mine to take it all when it ends. Don't have a spouse like that. You missed the whole trust test thing. That prenup thing is not of God. You don't get it. You missed it. Two, there is no longer two because two become one. And then this is what God says. This is what's so huge about this. God says, therefore, what I join together, when you recognize what I say about marriage, when you recognize what I say about married life, where it's a man and a woman, when it's a, let me say that again, where it's a man and a woman that get married, okay? God says, what I join together, let no man separate. That's what God said. What I join together, let no man separate. This is a covenant before God. God says, let marriage be honorable among all. Marriage is to be honored among all. Hebrews 13, 4. When God said, I have instituted marriage, from the very beginning I created man and woman to be together in fellowship, in unity, in marriage, in relationship. And God says, what I say is marriage is to be honored, held in a place of honor. That word honor, it means it is priceless. You can't put a tag on it. When God says, I created this amazing, amazing institute of marriage, and if you could see it through my eyes, it's priceless. Nothing tops it. It's priceless. You can't put a cost. That's what that word honor means. That we are to honor and see marriage the way God sees marriage. That it is priceless. Maybe you guys remember this, ladies. These are our wedding vows for the weddings that we do. The church wrote them up, took them from one source, Scripture. This is what it says. I take you to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward. I will love you as Christ loved the church. I will protect you. I will value, appreciate, and honor you. I will celebrate you. I will put myself second in every circumstance. For better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, sickness and in health, I will honor this marriage until we are parted by death. As God is my witness, I give you my promise. I take you to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward. I will submit myself to you. I will respect you. I will be strong and bring dignity to our home. I will put myself second in every circumstance. For better, for worse, richer, or poorer, sickness and in health, I will honor this marriage until we are parted by death. As God is my witness, I give you my promise. What happened to our vows? To the promise that we made before God on what should be the absolute second most important day of our lives. That we would recognize marriage is a covenant till death do us part relationship. That's huge. Folks, I want you to think, please, if you were married in this place, I want you to think, is there anything that is a dividing factor in our lives? Is there anything that we can peg right now, right here, in this place, that has divided us? Because God says, two become one. Incredible. Incredible. When we recognize what he is saying here, therefore what I have joined together, let no man separate. When you have a husband and wife who agree, when you have a husband and wife that come in harmony, when you have a husband and wife that can look at things and agree on things, that just tightens it and tightens it and tightens it and tightens it. Because two become one. And what God joined together, let no man separate. Number three is this. Turn to Proverbs 22, please. The amazing thing about eagles is in their nest, they raise their little eaglets up and then they send them out. Folks, we had to raise up our kids and then release them and let them go. It's incredible that when you understand eagles and what they do, they when they are building their nest, they will kill an animal, they'll eat the animal, and then they'll bring the fur of that animal, and they'll bring the feathers of different animals, and they will make, I'm talking about cloud nine pillowish home for the little baby eagles. And it will be so comfortable, and it will be so cozy, and it'll be so warm, and it'll be so wonderful that, you know, Mama Eagle has made her pad just absolutely a pillow for these little baby eagles. It's incredible. And then there's a day that Mama Eagle freaks out, and she starts ripping out all of these pillows, and she starts ripping out all these feathers, right? And then you know, the baby eagles are looking at each other going, what? What are you doing? I mean, I don't want to sleep on the concrete. I mean, this is, come on, I had a nice place picked out in the whole big nest. And now, Mom, you're taking my bed away. This is fact. This is what they do. Because there's a day when they are strong enough and old enough that they have to begin to learn how to stand on their own two feet. Parents, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Mama has to make it very uncomfortable for the baby eagles in her time of teaching, in her time of training the little ones how to stand, because they can't sit down now because all the prickers and all the thorns and everything. If you sit down on a thorn, that's bad. Don't do that. So here, little baby eagles are saying, okay, Mama took my pillow. I have to learn to stand. And then the talons get stronger and the legs get stronger and their grip becomes stronger, because guess what? Mama Eagle knows, listen, your grip is your life. If you go down and you want to feed and you are to grab a fish or grab an animal, or it's in your talons, which you begin to choke it and kill it and take it out. If you don't have strong talons, if you can't stand on your own two feet, then you can't eat. And if you can't eat, then you can't fly. And if you can't fly, you can't live. Mama Eagle knows I have to make it uncomfortable for my baby eagles in order to get them to learn to stand on their own two feet for the betterment of their life. And then there's a day comes after they have learned to stand one step at a time. Then Mama Eagle says, well, today's the day you get to learn to fly. Well, Mama Eagle again comes and freaks out, and she's starting to flap her wings, and she's causing a huge headache for the little eagles. And then, you know, she's coming over and she's like, pushing the eagles towards the end of the nest. And, you know, the one brother is looking at the sister going, what did you do? Mama's freaking out. Little sister, I ain't done nothing. What did you do, right? So then Mama Eagle brings up, the brother to the edge, and then she kicks him off. You know, I'm sure the sister's going, I didn't like him anyway. So, you know. And then Daddy Eagle's come down and catches him and brings him back up. Sister, your turn. That wasn't fun. That was crazy, you know. So, you know, then Sis gets kicked off, and they're just flopping and crazy and rolling and flopping and crazy and over and over and over and over until they learn to fly. You ever see an eagle fly? It is the most majestic, it like defines the eagle. I'm teaching you one of the most important qualities of life as an eagle is how to fly. Gang, I think sometimes as parents, sometimes it is so difficult to say, God, I hope and I pray and I beg that I'm doing it right as a parent. Because there's a day that I'm going to have to release my kids into this crazy world. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way that he should go. That word train is amazing. It means to dedicate. To dedicate our time. A purposed, steadfast, focused reason of teaching and training our children. Dedicate yourself to a specific purpose. That's what that means. Dedicate yourself to a specific purpose. Train. Parents, are we dedicating ourselves? What else matters than the teaching and training and living and being the example that our children need to see as godly parents? Do they see husband and wife together? Do they see husband and wife praying together on their face, crying out to God? Do they see and understand what it is to get in the Word of God? Do they see and understand, even in bad times, even when tough times come, yet God is still God, and we will still praise Him, and we will still live for Him, and we will still thank Him. Regardless of what we see in our circumstance, we are going to walk by faith. Do your kids see that? Has that been your dedication to do that? Listen, we've had a rough week in our home. Carter is 14, and he is an outstanding wrestler. I mean, Olean says he could break records. This week he dislocated his shoulder, which could be a killer to wrestling. And on the way to the hospital, you know, we've already prayed on the way to get him. And on the way to the hospital, you hear this voice in the front seat. This is, Mom, would you pray for me? And it reaches in from the back, and you don't want to touch it because it's very painful. And she just lightly puts her hand on his shoulder, and she begins to pray. And all of a sudden you hear Carter say, just pop back in. Which is totally amazing. But it's so amazing is we say, you know what, whether we ever wrestle again, God is God. And we will thank Him and we will praise Him. We have so much to be thankful for other than a shoulder or an injury or wrestling. And we give great thanks to God for bringing that shoulder back into place. But it's my 14-year-old son who says, Mom, could you pray for me? And we're saying, oh God, that we would teach and we would train and that we would dedicate ourselves to bring them up in our eagle's nest, to bring them up in our godly home, to look at the scripture and say, this is what God says. This is what the world's going to tell you, but this is what God says. This is what the world says and Hollywood says about relationships, but this is what God says about relationships. And we would understand and realize as parents that we are to walk in such a way to say, listen, I'm going to dedicate myself. I am purposely going to focus on my kids to teach them and train them. That there will be a day, one day, that I'm going to send you out and you are free to do whatever you want to do because you're at an age to be mature. And I tell you what, that can be a scary moment for a parent to say, God, I hope I've done everything that I can do. They're yours. Totally in your care. Totally up to you. They make their own decisions. That's tough. But when we look at Scripture and see what the Bible says about teaching and training and raising up our kids in a godly home, that we would be the example and that we would be the marriage that one day, well, I hope Carter and Ethan both find an amazing woman that has been patterned after Renee. And I tell them that all the time. First, I tell them I'm picking her, and they don't like that. I don't know why I'd pick a good one, you know. But that's the woman you want to marry. Because that's the example set in the home. Listen, everybody has to make their own choice. Once that eagle leaves the nest, either they're going to fly or they're not. Mom and dad have done everything they can do to teach and train that eagle to stand on its own 2 feet, learn to hunt by themselves. If they haven't learned to hunt by themselves, they will die. We will teach and we will train and we'll do everything in our eagle's nest to teach and train our kids in the way that he should go. There's only 2 ways, towards God or away from God. We can do everything in our power to teach them to go towards God. And then when they get out of the nest, it really is up to them to walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Where's Mommy and Brendan? Father, thank you. God, I want this to so sink in. This is so real. God, how we talk about family, how we talk about marriage, how we talk about relationship. God, I want every single person in this place to realize I've got to be very careful on who I intertangle with. I've got to be very careful on who I'm in relationship with. I've got to be very careful that one day that I'm going to marry somebody, I've got to be very careful. Who can find a trustworthy woman? Who can find a trustworthy man? Who can find? That better be going over and over and over. Now, if you're in a relationship that is full of distrust and jealousy and you're dating, you need to pray. You need to get out of it. And you don't even say, well, I'm going to pray about it. Don't do that. Get out of it. Husbands, please. Husbands, the Bible says to love your wife. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians 5 says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Sacrifice. Gave his life for the church. Generous, kind, forgiving, gentle. That's how Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Amazing. Amazing. That we would put ourselves second. You want the most amazing relationship between husband and wife? Be selfless. Put her needs and her desires first. Young lady, put his needs and his desires first. When you come in a relationship of marriage, be selfless. Myself down. His needs first. Her needs first. His desires first. Her desires first. When you come into a marriage relationship and you understand what it is to be selfless, unshakable, cannot be broken. When you think more of the other person than you do yourself in marriage. Incredible marriage. Incredible relationship. That's God's idea. Colossians 3:19 says, husband, love your wives. Love your wives and do not be embittered. Do not be sour towards them. Do not be angry. Do not be harsh. Gentlemen, this is absolutely God-directed to you. If you have harsh tone or you are angry or you are sour or you are bitter, that is the opposite of love. He says, husbands, love your wives. Do not. He gives you one, and then he gives you the opposite. Love your wives. Do not be embittered. Do not be this angry, harsh, sour, this nasty taste. The Bible calls you to be soft and gentle. Ephesians 5 says you're to be nourishing and tender and caring. Proverbs 31:28 says that husbands ought to praise their wives. Honey, you excel them all. Honey, you are so amazing. Honey, you are a prudent wife and you're a gift from the Lord. Honey, I celebrate you and I thank you. Honey, you're so incredible. There's not another woman on this planet that compares to you. You can line them all up and I pick you every time. You can line them all up. You excel them all. You just shine brighter than anyone in my world. You excel them all. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh. Do not use tone. Do not be angry. Do not be bitter. I'm asking you, please, if you're in this place, husband or wife, and there is something between you that you know has caused division, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, get it right. I'm begging you to talk about it, ask for forgiveness, repent from it, give it to God, and watch God restore and bring such an amazing relationship back in order again. If you're single here, please set your eyes. Please set your eyes and someone that you can spend the rest of your life with, who first and foremost loves Jesus and lives for Jesus and is surrendered to Jesus, and one who can be trusted, and one who is consistent, one who is reliable, one who loves. Father, I'm asking you to cover this place. Man, we would grow in this place. In Jesus' name. Folks, let's close in worship. Come